Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app on a victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. Typically, we go around the NFL this time. We'll do that tomorrow, review the non-Commanders games of Wild Card Weekend because, well, there's one more game left tonight, and we're missing a third of our show. We have Maryland Hoops tonight. Pre-game starts at 6, so we are going to hit right now what we usually do at 6 o'clock. The name's not quite as neat, but the concept works just as well. It's our pick 6 at, well, it's at 5:30.
The 6 biggest Commander storylines.
It is cool!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's party. On Fridays, we pick 6 players who we think will have an outsized impact on the game for the Commanders. And the only rule is you can't pick quarterbacks. And you can pick the opposing players if you think stopping that player is going to be a huge factor in a Commanders win. And, well, we picked some really interesting ones on Friday. We start with...
Number 1.
Anthony, you picked Tyler Biadasz. Tyler Biadasz.
Yes, I picked Tyler Biadasz in part 2... The Bucs' ultra-aggressive, blitz-heavy, you know, defensive unit. And I think you did a good job of outlining how we were able to, like, slow them earlier today. You know, these long, extended drives. You don't have the same energy that you would have, you know, if you're on and off the field after, like, three and outs and things of that nature. But we had, you know, what was it, a 17-play drive? That was
17
that took up like 9 minutes. Then we also had like 2 other drives that also were at least 10 plays at the minimum.
Bro, they had 5 10-play
drives. Okay,
5 10-play drives.
So when you can do that, you can dominate the time of possession. You can, you know, keep those guys off balance. It's going to be tough to, you know, play in and play out blitz as heavy and effective as they were early in the game. And I think we did a good job, you know, limited them. We only gave up 1 sack. And, you know, Jaden, he wasn't pressured a lot. So I think that's also in part to, you know, Jaden and Tyler Biadasz and the rest of the offensive line.
I think Biadasz's organization was better than, like, it was better than, like, his actual play, right? He didn't grade out super well on PFF, and I haven't watched the film back yet to have an idea of what happened. But in a little bit that I have watched, and in watching the game last night, they had a ton of replays, everything. Like, there weren't a ton of free runners coming at Jaden. And the times that there was quick pressures, like, guys got beat quickly. The last couple of weeks, there has been a ton of unblocked pressure with Michael Dieter at center. There's just a miscommunication of where guys are supposed to go. And it seemed like they were way more on their P's and Q's. And I think Biadasz has a huge role to play in that. That doesn't mean that they played great up front. Obviously, the run game was absolute booty all day long. But they did a good enough job in the passing game to protect Jaden, or at least at times where there was pressure and they didn't have a great or didn't do a great job of picking it up and he had to flush. Like, they were able to wash it all to one side and give him a clean exit, often to his right, which is the way that he wants to go to be able to keep his eyes downfield and throw with his right hand rolling right. So they only gave up 15 pressures on 40 dropbacks, which, considering the amount that Tampa Bay blitzes, is pretty significant. And actually, let me look real quick. Pass rush coverage. No, where is that? It's in a different part of PFF. But I believe they blitzed on 55% of their snaps, and to give up only like 37% pressure rate on that heavy of a blitz is really good. And the thing is, like, a lot of those pressures I don't think were very impactful. So on the reasons that you picked Kalijah, or you picked Tyler Biadasz, I think Tyler Biadasz did a pretty damn good job.
Number two.
I picked Terry McLaurin second, and I feel really good about that. Anthony, I was like, look, Terry's always going to be a factor, but they don't have a chance if he's not a big factor. And they come out first drive of the game, first third down of the game. Okay, Tampa, you want to blitz? You want to leave Terry McLaurin one-on-one with Jamel Dean or anybody else? Watch what my guy can do. The red zone stuff. He is such a weapon down there. And I was actually talking about this with Kime earlier today. I don't know when this is coming out, but I taped with John for his show earlier today. And I was like, John dropped this amazing stat, first of all. That's Terry's 11th red zone touchdown this season. 11 this season. Okay, this is a guy that did not have that many in the previous 4 years of his career, 5 years of his career. That is more than his entire career into this year combined. And if you think about it, it makes all the sense in the world. What do you lose in the red zone? You lose space. Well, who's the best contested catch guy where there isn't a lot of space in the entire NFL? Terry McLaurin. So this makes sense. They weaponize him down there. The patience he shows on that in-cut route to run the back line, excellent. Jaden just waiting on it. Bang, hits him. They tried the fade, which didn't go down, but like almost did, which is an incredible almost catch. I mean, his ability to track the ball is really special. I know the Post did a really big graphics and words piece on that over the weekend that I'm really excited to go back and read now because I didn't get a chance to over the weekend. So, like, Terry was awesome. The energy he brings, and I think they did a great job of keeping him involved. They had a bubble screen at one point. They didn't go anywhere, but it's like, nope, we haven't forgotten about him. This dude's going to be involved. You better plan for him. And I think that also opens up other stuff because there are times that he's getting doubled, and that means that Ertz is open, or Diami's got a one-on-one, or OZ's got a one-on-one, that they're a little lighter in run support, and you get, you know, the one good carry they had all game. So there's just so many things that having a dangerous number one wide receiver does for you. And he's going to have another banger of a game against Detroit, who's going to try to play man coverage and do all the stuff that Detroit does. And it's going to be up to Terry and Jaden to take advantage like they did in this one. They sure did. And hoorah, Terry McLaurin, first career playoff win.
Yeah, and one thing I will want to add, the fact that they were going to him in the red zone, even on the fade comeback that he tried to run on Jamel Dean.
Yep.
I feel like the only reason that didn't work was just because Jamel's a taller defender. But 9 times out of 10, like, most of the corners that Terry's going to go up against are going to be his size or, like, you know, a little smaller. And he's going to have that favorable one-on-one. But still have that faith to go to him in that spot, I don't know, it just speaks to, you know, Jaden and Terry, like, being on the same page. And that's what you want out of your QB1 and your wide receiver one.
Terry, an 88.9 PFF grade. Is that good? Yeah. Yeah. That's real good.
Number three,
Anthony Haney. You picked Jalen McMillan as having to step up opposite of Mike Evans. Mixed day for the rookie. And that was a big part of the Commanders getting their victory.
Yeah, I think he had sort of a quieter day just because Mike Evans got off. You know, Baker only threw the ball 18 times. He's 15 for 18. And 7 of those went to Mike Evans. So everybody else had a quieter day. Jalen, he did end up having a drop, but he also had an explosive two that we end up giving up. So
it's like a fake screen, I think, that he leaked up the middle on. That was a really good design. Cohen's good, man.
Now he is. But I think for the most part, like, we did a good job of, like, keeping him in check. And then when we double, you know, Mike Evans, putting Marshawn up against him in the red zone, I think we did a good job of just taking him away. And that's what you want to be able to do if you're going to be giving that much attention to Mike Evans after the first half he had.
For sure. McMillan on the day matched up most often with Mike Sainra still. He had one catch for 15 yards. He, you know, they put Bobby Wagner as having the catch that was over the middle. Mm. But he's got one target against Juice that Juice broke up, and he had one target against Lattimore, which went nowhere as well. And I think that you had, and that's the one that's considered a drop. But I think that's the kind of thing that you have to do is, like, you might have to, with the current state of Marshawn Lattimore, go with the old Patriots. We're going to put our best corner on the number two receiver, mm-hmm. make sure that he's dead, and then just double the number one. So I'm very curious to see if they can implement that on Amon-Ra St. Brown this week, or do they trust Lattimore to go? I don't know. We'll find out. I think it's going to depend on how he's moving around in practice this week. All right, three more players to talk about next as we wrap up the show. And then we're done because we just go to 6 o'clock today. We'll see if we can sneak in a Real Things as well. Some of the sound from the post game last night, including Magic Johnson holding court outside the Commanders locker room. That's all next as we wrap up the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are wrapping up because we got Maryland hoops. Let's go Turtles coming up at 6 o'clock. Tip off 6:30 for the Terps tonight. But Johnny and the crew get going. Coming up at 6 here on your home for all things Maryland sports, the Team 980. I got to say, Anthony, we did miss one significant thing on Jalen McMillan and our pick 6 at 6. He was, it's not really his fault, but like the fumble from Baker Mayfield, he is on the end around there. And that's on Baker. Based off of Baker's body language and the fact that he was like, hey, that was me. But, you know, it does feel like it's probably worth mentioning. So shout out to Spafron in the YouTube chat for mentioning that.
Was that supposed to go to McMillan? Or he would just...
I don't know. I didn't see any of the post-game stuff on the Tampa side of it to know whether that was a end-around like that was mistimed and late, or whether it was supposed to be a fake and Baker just like hit it off his hip. I don't know what the situation was, whether it was supposed to be an end around or whether it was supposed to be like a fake and then a bootleg situation. Collinsworth was musing about that on the broadcast, and you'd have to ask them, and I did not see that. So if people want to drop that in the chat, they can, but we're going to keep things moving. Number four. That's what I said. Number four, Bucky Irving, Anthony, who was exactly who Bucky Irving is. He is a big-time explosive runner when he has clean looks, but is limited in that he's only going to get, like, he's not going to create a bunch of big runs out of nothing. If you give him a crease, he's going to kill you. And he did a really good job in this game, especially in the second half, of killing the Commanders a couple of times. But it wasn't the carry over carry consistency that, you know, you're afraid of with, I think, like a David Montgomery this week for Detroit. But he's also, you know, had a couple of other effective plays. I think Bucky Irving had a good game, but not so good that it obviously killed the Commanders and they couldn't overcome it. I guess that's the way I would describe it.
Yeah. I think on the ground, definitely, I ain't gonna lie, the first play, Bobby Wagner stuffs him. I thought that we were gonna be able, you know, set the tone from there, but later on in the game, they started, you know, just getting momentum going. But in the fourth quarter, I think we did a solid job, especially just to get the stop. Granted, it was a botched snap, but that's out of our control, Craig. We got him down, and we were able to, you know, get the ball back and eventually score. And I have one question, though. On the pick play, if that's the Commanders, are they calling interference?
That's a great question, dude.
I promise you, if that was us, Craig, we would have not gotten that call.
That definitely, like, Collinsworth described it as a pick. And was it McMillan?
It was McMillan.
He
pointed him out.
Right. That and the Ertz no call. The Ertz one is way more egregious. Yeah. But that was a pick like 4 yards down the field. There wasn't contact. I mean, McMillan does a good job of selling that he's running a route, but like also you pointed out the dude, then you ran straight into him.
I think it very
easily could have been offensive pass interference.
Because he scored. Was that Bucky?
That was Bucky Irving. Yeah. That's a good pull by you. On that, I forgot that was. That was Irving, one of his two catches on the day. Mm-hmm. But I do think on that front, you know, Washington, or we talked about how Tampa's got the best screen game in the NFL. Screen game really wasn't that big of a part of yesterday's day for them.
Nope.
So I do think that is probably worth mentioning. By the way, in terms of success rate and EPA per play, all those kinds of fun things, they held Bucky Irving to just a 47% success rate on his runs yesterday. So that was fifth best of all the running backs all weekend long. But his EPA per attempt, so kind of the damage that he does, was 10th best of all the, I should say, the qualified rushers. So, like, you have Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden in there as well. But towards the bottom half of the running backs for the weekend. So, all in all, a very, very good job by the Commanders. And let's see, can I even sort this? No, I can't sort it by quarter. I was hoping I could. So we'll roll with that. Those are the statistics on Bucky Irving. 7 carries, almost 80 yards, 2 catches. One of them was a touchdown that should have been called back. And the Commanders did a good enough job on him that they didn't lose. But also, I think the fact that he only had 17 carries, I think they would have liked more for Bucky Irving, but they couldn't because they couldn't get off the field. Which brings us back to
number 5.
Number 5 in our pick 6, John Allen, Anthony, who I believe was your pick.
Yes, he was my pick, Craig, and you might not believe this, but he did not record a stat yesterday.
He didn't record a stat? I thought he had one somewhere.
Nah, so he was in on the TFL on the botch snap. He didn't complete the tackle, though. Mm. But he did hit him first, and then everybody else rallied to the ball. But even, like, I looked at some of the all 22.
He's got one pressure, according to PFF.
Look, that counts then.
Yeah. He had a missed tackle.
But when you look at the all 22, I think him and Deron and Johnny as well, I think they did a solid job of, you know, just holding their guy at the point and allowing the linebackers or, you know, the safeties to, you know, come down and fill those lanes and get the tackles. And I think last year when we had Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and all those guys, a lot of those guys were playing for themselves. And I think yesterday was sort of them, you know, buying into like what everybody's preaching and allowing, you know, Bobby to fill the lanes or Louvu to come down. And we saw those guys at the lines making the play. So even though, you know, he doesn't show up in the stat sheet, it's still just something to, you know, note and watch that he did have some type of impact.
No, I think that's a good point. And I'll have a lot more on this on Allen and everybody tomorrow when I've had the chance to watch the All-22. But I think that's a great point. Like, there wasn't these huge gaps, you know, and to the point that there were, they were, you know, contained enough that guys like Chim were able to come down and make plays. Mm-hmm. So, Allen definitely not a huge impact yesterday. Newton and Payne had bigger impacts in terms of TFLs and everything. His PFF grade's like 40 something. It's not good.
Yeah.
But I don't think that John Allen was like heinous yesterday. Of course, the Commanders D line has a huge task this week against Detroit. That offensive line is grotesque.
Number 6.
Last but not least in our pick 6, went with Quan Martin, who I think was pretty good yesterday. Graded out very, very well. Graded out as a 70.4 overall, fourth best grade on the Commanders behind Wagner, Chin, and Louvu. And I think the biggest thing is he has an 82.9 tackling grade. He made some big plays in the open field where he one-on-one solo tackles guys like Mike Evans because his corners made mistakes and or just got beat. Like, it happens. There's a slant that Marshawn gets beat by Mike Evans, and Quan grabs Mike Evans and picks him up off the ground and slams him down. There's no big vertical plays over the top yesterday. Like, when was the last time that you remember a big vertical play over the top where Quan Martin was nearby? Like, Philly? Had a couple, I guess, with AJ.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was one against Dallas.
Nah.
I don't think there was any against Atlanta that I can remember. And big vertical shots down the field.
Nah.
So, tells you that Quan Martin's adjusting to this safety thing. Remember, it's his first year as a full-time safety. He was playing nickel last year. He played corner in college, played nickel in college. Little bit of safety, but he's adjusting quite well to this and under Dan Quinn, under Joe Witt, in coordination with Jeremy Chin back there, Percy Butler rotating in. I think Quan's probably been the most consistent member of that secondary this year from start to finish, and I think he had another really good one yesterday. They're definitely going to need him to stay over the top and be hanging out over the top of Jameson Williams this week. And, you know, the other thing, too, is Kwon was so close to making a play on that Mike Evans slant for the touchdown. Like, he plays that really well, gets his hands up, whatever. It's just a tick late. Kwon, I need you to wear the Guardian helmet this week. I need you to grow your helmet size. That way, next time it doinks off your dome. Because had it literally been that extra quarter of an inch of padding, that might have been enough to be in the way. And just heck of a throw by Baker. Incredible concentration by Mike Evans. I don't think he... There's no way he saw that ball into his hands.
Yeah.
He just had to put his hands where he saw it going. Kwon's helmet gets in the way. His hands don't move. The ball's fast enough that it hits him in the hands. And you kind of catch it blind.
Yeah, we talk about perfect throws, man. That was a perfect throw and throwing to a spot. Good gracious.
For sure. All right, that's pretty much the show. Anthony, do we have some of the post-game sound in the magical folder here? It looks like we do.
Yeah, I got Magic and Josh.
So let's get to it, eh? Let's get to that was our pick six. Real things, real people said in two real microphones to close out the show.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Culture's good now, everybody. Brucey, you're long, long gone. And thanks to guys like Magic Johnson and Josh Harris.
This man right here. No, this is serious. You said, what does it take? New vision, new owner with a strategy, picking the right people. First, our coach, Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, and then we all step out the way and let them do their job.
Talent, culture, and people.
There it is.
Talent, culture, and people.
So that's it. Don't make this about us. It's about those guys.
Yeah, well, Matt, did you envision it happening this fast, 2 years?
Quarterback.
How could you?
Got to get a quarterback.
We'll see you guys in Detroit. It's going to be cool.
Make it about those guys.
Sorry, Magic, we played your soundbite, but your guys did a hell of a job. Congrats to the Commanders. On to Detroit we go. They're not done yet. We're done, though. See you back here tomorrow. Maryland Hoops next.